This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So, obviously, I'm in a place where I'm feeling self-conscious. I'm feeling nervous. Like, it's been a while. I haven't been to a salon in a long time. It's been COVID. And I panic. Like, they say, you know, what are you looking for today? And I say, give me the Silent Bob. Which they then are like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And I say, I'm not going to take off my backwards hat. I'm leaving that on. What I want you to do is sort of like push and feather the hair that's poking out from it. I want the Silent Bob.
And you're miming all this.
Well, because I get shy about my voice.
Okay.
I hate the sound of my own voice. That's why I can't listen to the podcast. And people say, Sean, you've said all these offensive things on the podcast. You've said all this horrible stuff. And I go, I don't know. I mean, how can I be accountable? I've never listened to it because I'm so shy about how my voice sounds. So I'm just kind of poking and pushing, and I'm taking their hand. I'm holding their hand really tight. They're trying to pull it away. I'm sort of inserting it into under the brim, and I'm going like, this stays, this moves, And that's not what I want. You know, I don't want to have the Silent Bob. If anything, I'd like to have the J.
Clerks 3, let's talk about it. Started shooting in July 2021.
On the 4th of July.
Still shooting.
First day of filming. They broke ground on the movie 4th of July to celebrate their independence from the big studios.
And you know what's so amazing about that? It was a holiday, and none of them were even supposed to be there that day.
And isn't that in the spirit of
legally?
What
none of the union members, certainly.
No, no, no. They were not supposed to be
but
there.
It was a non-union production.
Eichel,
take a bow. I said Eichel too, Sean. I said Eichel too before you even came here.
I wasn't here. I came after the haze. I came straight from getting the Silent Bob.
You guys know I'm in Clerks 3, right?
You Clerks 3'd?
Yeah, baby.
I guess if I thought about it for one single fucking second, I could have put that together. I'm not so good at math, but some things add up.
Who?
It's a continuation of the Clerks storyline.
The Viewisk universe, yes.
Yeah, extended KSCU, Kevin Smith's Clerks universe. All the characters are back.
It's called the Viewisk universe, but yes.
What's it called? Say it again.
The Viewisk
universe.
Right. The Viewisk universe. All your favorites are back. You got Jay.
Jay's there.
You got Silent Bob.
You were there. You really were.
Holy shit. I thought you might be yanking my chain.
No, the more
you talk about this, it's stuff that only someone who was on set would know.
Yeah, no, Kevin Smith was there. He was there.
Kevin Smith is even there. Kevin Smith gets me excited for the movie.
He was wearing a New York Islanders hockey jersey. He was a sweetheart. He's a great guy.
That's him.
My part's a little bit under wraps, so you're gonna have to find out the day it drops, but
I don't want to make you like break any rule, like but I'm looking at you and I feel like you might be managing a movies.
I'm not saying yes or no.
And his head is nodding like yes. He says he's not saying it, but he's.
We had a good time. I was a little bummed we shot on the holiday, but
yeah,
because that's my parade day. But we had a great time. We went out afterwards.
Well, don't just blow by that. Talk about your parade day a little bit. I mean, you said you wanted to come in and kind of unload.
Well, you know, I think parades are something that, guys, we're living in a highly politicized era where some people think it's not cool to go to a parade and dress up and wave a flag and shake the hands of all the police officers there. Mm-hmm. Some folks in our business think that is lame. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm doing is I'm showing people that it's not lame. It's not lame to have fun. It's not lame to support your local parade. And so for the last few years, I've been going to, you know, every 4th of July, me and my family, we go to about 7 or 8 parades all up and down throughout California, up into from basically LA to the Inland Empire.
Wow. You just chase them
around. We have a little app that we have that tells us what's up. And so when the folks from View Askew reached out and told me the dates for this, I was at first I was kind of like, nah. But, you know, then the more and more I thought about it and talked to Kevin about it and prayed on it, quite frankly, I said, this year, no parades. So I did the movie and do I regret it?
In a way, and I imagine you and Kevin found some common ground creatively, you can reach so many more people with this message of it's cool to go to a parade and shake the police's hand and feed the police horse. It that's actually neat. And it's like, if it wasn't cool, would Ike be doing it? And some of your supporters, it must break their fucking brain, man. Mm. To see you out doing this shit, and they go, okay, well, how do I kind of blend this with the old idea I had of parades are whack?
Yeah, no, my Instagram feed is just, it's just picture after picture of me feeding a police horse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I make food at home and I bring it and I feed the horses.
Great big bowl of tagliatelle, and you're swirling it on like a big sork that, big fork, sorry, that's traditionally reserved for like serving salad, and you get a big swirl on there, so it's a big twister, and you go ahead and you shove it in the horse's mouth, and man, seeing that community and the kind of feeling of family that you have with that whole crew,
and
it's beautiful.
I love it. Sometimes, you know, some of the cops say, that's enough. He's going to get sick. Get out of here. You know, fuck off. Pasta. You know,
too much pasta for the horse. Horse is sick. Yeah, the horse they is don't trying eat to
this.
Leave.
Yeah, they don't eat this stuff. They're on a special diet. But if you go to @Ike Barinholtz on my Insta, you could see all these videos and stuff. And there's a link where you can donate money to me to buy more
pasta. I'm in there because you're out of pocket on this, and I'm in the comments always, and I say, yummy, looks so good. I could smell it. I could smell it from here. I could smell it through my phone. The sauce, it's a really spicy sauce. It's an arrabbiata that you do.
Sean is always the first comment. Always the first comment. It's always, damn, man, that looks good.
Yeah. Smell it from here. Hey, I never thought I'd be jealous of a horse. You know, because I don't like the animal. I'm not a. I don't like them.
Legend status.
Oh man. Well, it's what I do. It's just a little part of who I am.
People don't know. They think you're some Hollywood fucking douchebag. Like they don't know that you're out there with a cause that you believe in.
Yeah, man.
And you're putting
in
the hours.
Yeah, no, I'm not a phony. This is what I've dedicated me and my family's life to, and it's you know, we're proud of who we are. We don't give a shit about the haters.
The money's nice, but it's about the platform.
Mm-hmm. It is about the platform. It is about the platform.
But Kevin's giving you an opportunity to do that on a bigger stage. I think that's really cool. I think that's really cool.
I'm just excited for you guys to see the damn thing.
I'm imagining Randall and Dante kind of debating one of their classic arguments they get into over like what's the best part of the parade, like their favorite Macy's Thanksgiving float or something.
They're all back, all your favorites from the first one, they're all back, and they're doing the exact same thing.
Randall's got some theory about Snoopy, like what kind of sex Snoopy has or something. And
there's a little bit of that.
Woodstock's genitals. Yeah. What is Woodstock packing downstairs? And, you know, Randall's weighing in as well. That sounds good movie. Good movie.
But that's one part of you. And the other part is promoting Chicago Party Ant. You are... You're on the circuit. You're
aunt
doing...
or aunt.
In Chicago, we say aunt.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know when you hear that, it might sound like, "Oh, this is a show about an insect in Chicago."
It's an animated show, cartoon.
And... It could be anything.
Yeah.
I always say about. I have a little saying about animation. It's only as big as your brain is.
Okay.
And what that means is,
yeah,
if you have a big brain that can imagine a lot of things, and you can imagine crazy shit, then you could do it in the show. The show could do as much as. But if you have a small brain, and you can only imagine a few things, and the show is it will be that. But it's one of the.
Right.
With what I say about it.
But you're saying it's big. You say it's only as big as.
It's
as your brain is.
It's only as big.
Yeah.
Here's my quote about animation is.
Yeah.
The show's only as big as your brain is.
Hmm. Yes. Ike.
This a little dash, hyphen. Dash Ike.
Every morning he starts the writer's room that way.
Every morning I would start off the writer's room with like an inspirational quote.
Mm-hmm. Watch the grape stomp lady. Get loosen them up.
You got to do a viral video. We have a little routine. You come in. First thing is everyone's quiet as I say a quote. And it could be anything. It could be something a politician said. It could be something an actor said.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do about 45 minutes of viral videos.
You guys seen this? It's Randy Rainbow.
We do a Randy Rainbow
You're
thing
like
every
losing
every day.
Your shit to Randy Rainbow at the beginning of every.
He did a day. Song about how he hopes. Matthew McConaughey runs for governor, and it wasn't just hilarious. It was right. He was right.
Yeah, he was right.
It wasn't just hilarious. It wasn't just right. It's actually a really fucking good song.
It's a good song. So we watched some Randy Rainbow. We watched classics, Grape Stomp, Charlie Bit My Finger. We would watch a lot. We actually one day as a gift, my Christmas gift to the writers was I got a cameo from. Charlie from the Charlie Bit My Finger, the little boy. He's totally unrecognizable right now. He's like 23.
He's an old freak.
He's old. Yeah.
And
he won't say.
He won't say the line anymore.
He won't even refer to it. So basically I sent
he
this
won't
cameo.
Even say like, "Hey, it's me, Charlie," or like, "It's me, Charlie's brother." I don't even know what my,
that's the thing. His name is Noah.
Yeah.
So, but all of a sudden, so I send him this video and it's like, this guy's like, "Oi, I'm Noah. Happy holidays. Congratulations on, finishing the first round of scripts. Thank you. I hope you have a great holiday season. Love Ike and, Dave." And everyone was like, who is this?
What
and
is, I was why like, am I watching this? Yeah.
But then when I told them who it was, they're like, oh, yeah.
They're like, oh, is it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So anyways, yeah.
And then you guys, my understanding, I wasn't in the room and not, that's fine, actually. I have my own stuff going on. But what I heard from people, I know a lot of writers, and they were saying that you guys watch both David After Dentist and Adam Pally's parody of David After Dentist, David After Divorce, where he's saying the same. He's going, is this real life? And he's in the back of the car, but it's an adult.
We had Adam Pally come in. He's a friend from my Mindy Project days. We had him come in, perform it live.
Perform it live. And did he say Kadoosh at the end?
Of course.
Like, an actual, like, you're just watching a Funnier Die video. I don't think it was a Funnier Die video, but imagine.
Wasn't, but it could have been. Would have been a good one.
Yeah, our goal was always to show viral videos and then parodies of viral videos. We all remember Lazy Sunday.
Sure, that one's easy, but...
There was a Lazy Monday.
Color Me Mine. Yeah, Color Me Mine is the refrain.
Yeah. And so we would watch that. And
that's Forrestein joint, right?
That's a Mark Forrestein joint.
He's got to be a friend, huh? He's in the.
He actually is. I see him in the hood.
Gotta be.
Like the sweetest man. Just
nice
guy. Wonderful man.
Yeah.
So
I've seen him order tacos.
The problem was this, is that after about 3 or 4 months, we realized that we weren't starting writing the show until well after 2 o'clock.
Haven't written a word. Yeah.
Not written one word, not talked about a story. We would watch a final video and argue about it, getting these big, long, like really angry fights with each other about some of them. And then we would have lunch. And so what we decided to do was kind of pull that all back. And we're like, here's the deal. Hard start time at 10 a.m. Viral videos for 2 hours. We start writing at
that is it. Mm. Viral videos for 2 hours. You correct eat while you watch the videos.
We
and
eat,
yeah, eat and fight get, about the get, video get, while the video's playing.
Yeah, you got your Granville, and you're like, Rebecca Black could have been a star. She could have been a goddamn star. It's that type of thing, but it doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want. At noon, we start writing. We start then.
No matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what.
Yeah, I have a saying, in animation, the best stuff comes afternoon.
Let's talk about that because...
Please.
You, of course, the show stars, Chicago Party Ant.
Yes.
Nephew Kyle.
Kyle's in it.
Kyle. Bill Simmons is nephew Kyle.
Is this correct?
The star?
He's rapping in the show.
Bill Simmons is playing the nephew in our show.
Please.
We cast Bill Simmons as the nephew Daniel, who's just a wonderful character, young, gay, 17-year-old, 18-year-old.
Perfect, inspired casting.
I'm friends with Bill.
TBD. Yeah.
Hey, Chicago Party Ant.
Bill's in the neighborhood.
Bill's in the neighborhood. Yeah, I seen him at Pete's.
Saw him last night at a party. No joke.
Yeah.
Bill and I went to a sports bar together. And I turned to him. I go, do you want to do this voice, Daniel, in Chicago Party Ant? And he was like, yeah. So we recorded the whole season with Bill. Mm-hmm. And then one of our more woke writers, let's just leave it at that, was like, hey, do we want to have this part of, you know, this kind of 18-year-old LGBTQ young man played by a guy from Boston who's... Mm-hmm. 48, 49, 50.
And like, it'd be one thing if he were...
He's like 51, yeah.
Yeah. It'd be one thing if he were just like a straight guy, but he's so like aggressively sexual.
Yes. That, it was like, a little dripping with sexuality too much. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I said to that writer, I said, listen, get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
You're fucking fired. You're gone.
Pack your shit up.
You're on the list.
Take your computer, right. Leave the charger. Charger's ours.
Yeah, you're out. I'm not going to say names, but it's Babalu Mandel.
It was Babalu.
It was Bobby Lou.
It was Bobby. And I yelled at him. And I fired him on the spot. We've mended fences. The thing is, he was right. He left like 20 minutes later. I was like, wait, of course.
Why'd I fire him? This is bad casting for this particular role. Yeah.
So inappropriate. So we hired Rory O'Malley, who's an amazing actor from Book of Mormon and Hamilton. Have you ever heard of him? that was funny to how that was a little bit of a snafu, but we fixed it.
Wow.
I was saying in animation, there are second chances, but no third chances. So we knew that bringing him in had to get it right.
Yeah.
Had to get it right.
You can recast.
We're using
once.
This no matter what it is.
No matter what.
Whoever you
it's
get.
It's going in.
That's it.
That's what you got.
Yeah.
It sounds like Rory's really good. You didn't give me a chance to answer when you asked if I'd heard of him, but I have not.
But you've heard of Hamilton, I'm assuming? It's only like the most famous musical of all time.
Yeah, no, I know. Yes, I do.
And how are we capitalizing on the success of that Hamilton? How is that? I'm just curious, like from a marketing perspective, are we putting just Hamilton somewhere odd?
Mm-hmm.
The poster and like
you probably can't. I mean, they must own their imagery, but you could put Spamilton up there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had some fun. We basically employed the Mad TV technique, which is
yes
cheated a little bit, so it's not quite the same. You know, when we would do a song parody, let's say we're doing a song parody for I don't know Nelly's "Hot in Here."
Okay.
It would be like the real song is "It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes." We would go, "It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes." And you can do the same kind of thing with the Hamilton artwork. So instead of seeing kind of Lin-Manuel, you know, with hand finger up and that kind of iconic
and the star
image, the star and stuff,
yeah.
we added another little point to the star. So it's a, you know, what looks like a yellow 6-pointed star, which is problematic in itself. But when you put a guy in it, kind of making a different hand arm thing,
he's
kind of
doing
different.
Like a Hans and Franz
he's
doing like a pump you up sort of.
Yeah, and then we have another guy in front of him doing the other like pop, but they're on a slight angle. So if you can imagine, you know, when I saw the art, I initially gasped and I said, I cannot
be a part of this show.
Yeah. This is offensive to me. You know, I don't want this to be anything.
I'm a Jewish man. I can't do this.
Sure.
And then they walked me through why it's different. And I said, okay. Yeah.
Sometimes you just need a minute. And it's so much like the Bill Simmons thing where there you're on the wrong side.
Okay.
You know, you were upset that someone else was offended. Here you needed someone to walk you through. You're being dumb about this. Like it's
yeah,
well, you know,
people are too darn sensitive these days. And so when I hear someone has a problem, you know, I'm like, what? But then I hear him out and then I'm like, yeah, okay.
Sometimes it's right, yeah. Go ahead. We go like, oh, it's not an offensive thing. It's just like this 51-year-old millionaire who lives up the street from me, like maybe shouldn't be the voice of like this teen maybe struggling with his sexual identity.
Live and learn is what I say. I say in animation, you live and you learn.
Yes. Yes. I've heard that from some people in the room.
Yeah.
So there's the writing there. We talked about some of the promo, the key art.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about the actual, like the craft, something that you have been wanting to do for a long time, which is drawing all of these guys. You drew every single one.
Yes.
You drew all their different parts.
Yep.
All the different stuff that they did, you drew it. Take us into some of the tools of the trade. Where do you start, for example, when you're coming up with one of these guys? Which of their pieces are you like usually drawing for? Where does the pen begin its little journey?
And honestly, talk to me like I'm a 2-year-old, because the writing stuff I understand to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. I am a writer. I didn't work on this show, but I worked on some of my own stuff. But the drawing, you know, I can't draw a damn thing. And I remember even the last time you were in the studio, you walked out and I noticed you'd been kind of doodling while we were talking.
Doing my doodles, yeah.
And it was like there was this like this fucking ganja leaf with bloodshot eyes. And a big bulge in his drawers. And I look at that and I go, this kid's got some real talent, the visual imagination to come up with, you know, something like that. I love that you're doing this show and that you drew it and explain to me how that would work.
I mean, look, people that know me know that this is what I've always been into. You know, when I was growing up in Chicago, you know, it was the 90s and Michael Jordan was everywhere. And, you know, every guy I knew was walking around dribbling a basketball, and not me. Mm-hmm. I had my sketchbook, my sketch pad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was drawing.
Dribbling,
you know,
that, dribbling a sketch.
Trying to dribble that, you know.
Dribbling ink on the page. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And, you know, in high school and college, you know, people would be at parties and doing drugs and, you know, they'd be having sex and I would be drawing them having sex. I'd be in the room watching them have sex, drawing it, you know. And I just, it's always been a passion of mine. And then I got, I moved to LA and I moved out here to be an animator. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was very influenced by, do you know Calvin and Hobbes?
So yeah, I'm glad you brought this up. I'm one of the only people who used to read that shit.
And Sean has been telling me about this, and he'll like send me different strips and he'll talk about how it's actually, there's like real philosophy in it. Like,
oh,
this
God.
Is like really,
you live your
this
whole
is actually the smartest
life,
yeah,
according to the book of Calvin and Hobbes. And mm-hmm. it's, there's philosophy, there's drawings, there's comedy. And I'm one of the only people, I was actually reading this fucking thing. There's a couple like weird things, because I don't know if it's where I grew up or my parents. I don't know what to credit to, but like I used to watch the movie Back to the Future and I would read Calvin and Hobbes. And this is shit nobody knew about. And there's catching up a little bit. It's becoming something. But for me, you know, it's actually become my entire personality.
Look, I loved the comic, but then I loved it for what it was. But then one day I was driving with my dad. We were just going for a long drive and a guy
he was coming to take you home to.
He was coming to take. Yeah. Drop me off. We had a great weekend together. He had to go back to South America for a little while to do some work for the government. But he took me this long drive and we were driving, this guy in this big truck fucking cut us off. And my honk and my dad goes, you know, fuck you. And I look and he had a decal of Calvin from the comic, but he was pissing. Hmm. And he had this look, like this twisted look. And I went,
I know the one.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know the look.
Yeah. And that was the light bulb moment for me, in the sense that I realized that
I should also be grabbing it with both hands like that.
Like it's just, yeah, it taught me how to piss. Because before, I would hold my hands straight down the side.
I was trying something different every time. I was trying something different every time. And I go, was this better than last time? But yeah, it's a nightmare. Yeah.
That was huge. But more importantly, it taught me that you could do something like comics, but have a friggin' twisted sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I moved out here, and I was like, what is going to strike first? Is it going to be the animation? Is it going to be the modeling? Is it going to be the stunt work? Mm-hmm. And then randomly comedy kind of, you know, popped
this
in there.
This town has a way of slapping a label on you and saying, this is what you
this
are.
Is a oh, stunt, Baron, this is a stunt model.
You're not an animator. You're a stunt model. And then now you can't get taken seriously as an animator until you reach a certain level.
No, I had a big stamp on my head as a comedy guy. And but I was always in behind the scenes on Mad TV. We'd be doing a sketch and I'm playing the guy who owns the car dealership that James Brown won't leave. And I'm sitting there. And you know, when it's not my coverage, I'm turning and I'm drawing these twisted, freaky deaky, totally inappropriate cartoons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I always did it, but I still was just labeled not an animator. And it really wasn't until Chicago Party Ant that I pitched it, you know, with these other great writers, all comedy people, and I pitched it as a comedy guy. And the minute Netflix said we're in, I go, One flag on the play. We got the email that said deal is closed. And I wrote an email to every friggin' person, all the producers, Ted Sarandos, all of them.
I think I was CC'd on this.
I think you might have been. And I said, the subject, flag on the play. And I said, I said to them, here's the deal. Either I draw it or there's no show. Mm-hmm. So then the show went away for about a month and a half, and we had to kind of negotiate with them, and we ended up.
You gotta do your drawing contract.
You gotta do my drawing. It slowed everything down, and the other writers were maybe a little mad, but you know,
the results speak for themselves. I mean, they might have been mad then. Now they're kissing your damn feet because I've seen some of the shit you drew. I've seen this praying mantis with these big honkers, you know, I mean, massive, spilling out of her tank top.
I did this one. I did this one that I'm going to send to you guys. It is, it's the alien queen from Aliens, but okay. She got camel toe.
Wow.
It's like, what on earth is happening?
Why?
Very yes. Nasty and sick.
Not even sure that's how, okay, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is the no, the first, the when I unveiled my original artwork to the other producers, I mean, their jaws hit the floor. And they were like, you went way overboard on the sexuality of these characters. Mm-hmm. You know, I had, everyone had enormous breasts and penises.
Everything is dripping. Everything. Like I saw from the early art, everything has everything soaked, as like a little drops coming out of it.
Yeah, everyone is just soaking and just like they all look so friggin' horny.
It's all and glistening. Yeah, it's all so moist.
Just moist and just, oh, everyone's the nipples were hard and all the guys had these big friggin' boners. And,
I can't stress enough to it, not in an appealing way. I just feel like people are going to be thinking like that you're some horn dog. It's actually disgusting. The whole point is that sex is disgusting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the joke. I was like, isn't this so gross? You know, they're so friggin' gross.
Yeah.
But everyone, again, you know, you learn. In animation, the first take is the wrong take.
Yeah.
Again, the situation where everyone kind of walked me through it, and Katie Rich, who's one of our producers, she took me aside and really just for about 2 hours just was like, you know, broke it down for me how shitty that is and how disgusting it was. So we went back and forth. And I started to realize, look, I have to make a show that is broad enough to appeal to, because I don't know if you guys know this, Netflix, it ain't just in America, baby. It's in lot of countries. And you got to make sure you're being big and broad for folks. And I don't want some nice man in, I don't know, Oman to click on the link and all of a sudden it's just like a big shaved beaver.
Right.
I don't want to.
So they look
in
at the metrics, like, what do they have everywhere? Everywhere.
Yep.
Squid. They got that. And games. They got that everywhere in the world. What do they have? What else do they have everywhere? Chicago.
Big cities.
No. Specifically Chicago.
Some version of Chicago is going to be
A version of everywhere. Chicago. Yeah.
They have a huge party.
Party.
Every day.
Party.
Siestas. Fiestas. Soirees.
Go. Yes.
Go.
Yes. Oktoberfest.
Oktoberfest, of course.
Rocktoberfest. Shocktoberfest.
Iroktoberfest. And they have, of course, Ant herself. So that's everywhere. That's every country in the world.
Every single, we've done the research, and every single person has an aunt, unless your parent didn't have any siblings.
Or a brother, just a brother, or multiple brothers. Yeah.
Yeah. But they have someone in their family who might serve as that. So
everyone has that aunt figure.
Yes.
In their lives.
And that was really just like we had to kind of broaden the scope of the show. We had to broaden the animation and we didn't want to alienate anyone. So we kind of pared it down a little bit. And, you know, I still like what I did. But
the shit you drew was awesome. But that's your producer's job as well, isn't it? To tell you, hey, Ike, this looks fucking incredible.
Yeah.
But it's making me throw up.
Yeah.
We need to pull back. It's everyone's uncomfortable. And and really think about, would your Chicago party aunt want to watch this show?
Yeah.
Or your party. Yeah.
Yeah. Mine, I think, would. She is sexually charged.
Okay.
So I think she would. But the thing is, this is you have to in art. Don't you have to say, doesn't the best artist say, it's not what I think is good. It's what I think everyone else thinks is good.
That's Ike said that.
Ike.
And that is an animation, especially. I think that's
right. Mostly an animation.
Hollywood Handbook.
Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort, but it is possible to have it both ways. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. We're so excited to be working with Mack Weldon again. We wear Mack Weldon stuff. I'm wearing a Mack Weldon sweatshirt right now, but it has been, we've had a few years in the wilderness.
Great stuff. Yeah. We had a little bit of a period where we were not actively engaged in this partnership with them. It was really hard on us. I like to think it was hard on them. I don't know. That wasn't expressed to us ever. We struggled in that time.
And that was, I think, part of it was like really wanting to maintain a total separation from the partnership for a while. We are back. Mack Weldon, the underwear's great. The Ace sweatpants.
The sweatpants I have always loved. I recently ordered, and I will report back on them in the next ad, fingers crossed, if we have one, and I hope we do. What's going on? But I did order a polo shirt.
Wow.
A silver, and silver is their special fabric that is like antimicrobial. I got the Silver Peak polo shirt, and I don't really wear those, but I do kind of like them. And this could be a whole new me that you end up seeing.
And so people might be asking, we'll just cover it in this ad before we move forward, what happened to Mack and Weldon, the prospector characters you used to do for Mack Weldon ads? Mack and Weldon are dead. We want to like underscore that fact. It was very important to.
Yeah, it was. It was not the only reason that for the break, but we did give them their space. We did take a break, and Mack and Weldon wasn't. Not a reason that we came to that place with this company. And so they are dead. You know, no reason to go into any of the gruesome details. Those characters have been killed, murdered. And that's how they're dead. Was not natural causes, was not anything peaceful. They're gone.
Breathable underwear that keeps you cool, dry, and comfy all day. Crazy comfortable but elevated sweatpants from the Ace collection. The Silver Peak polo, the Silver Crew neck t-shirt. Great stuff. Get it at Mack Weldon. Timeless looks with modern comfort. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code THEBOYS. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code THEBOYS.
Let's face it, folks. Shopping for loved ones can be difficult, but Aura is making it a lot easier. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? I know I am. Aura frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can personalize the frame with preloaded photos. So I took advantage of this. Obviously, people know I'm a wife guy and my wife is also a mom. So for Mother's Day this year, I know I want to give her something special that makes her life a little bit easier. So I'm going to preload the Aura frame with images of gifts that I want her to buy me. That way, I'm taking so much of the pressure of shopping for me off of my wife. It's called being a considerate husband, and I can't imagine a better gift than a frame with a series of images of items I wish I had. From grandmothers to new mothers to aunts to even friends in your life, everyone will love an Aura frame. It was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages, and they make it easier to let them know where they've maybe been letting you down and not getting you exactly what you want. That's why there's nothing more passive-aggressive and thoughtful than an Aura frame. Right now, they've got a great deal for Mother's Day, listeners. can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Oh, and terms and conditions, yeah, they apply.
Hey, did you guys know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about like maybe 3-4 subscriptions. I couldn't believe it when they showed me I was paying for 5 million subscriptions every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, just never ending. I had subscribed with the police for a permit to smoke trees. This was many years ago. I mean, like, I barely used it. I haven't smoked trees in like in many, many years. And they make it so hard to cancel. You have to go to the police station. They're like, you sure? Sure would be nice to like smoke down a big ass tree right now. And like they just make it seem more appealing than it actually is. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on that subscription. Any other, they went down to the police station for me. They talked to the chief. Like, they make it so easy. They find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. They monitor your spending, help you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You have full control over your subscriptions, a clear view of your expenses. They're all in one place. Over 5 million users. They've saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions because, yeah, I mean, each one, just like do the math, I had 5 million, each would cost $100. Saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/theboys. That's rocketmoney.com/theboys, rocketmoney.com/theboys.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Oh. Who else is in this show?
Yeah, what else is happening on the show? What happens on the show? They're just like, what? They're
like being, what is like it? Insanely weird.
Are they being like, so
they're being a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
A little random, mostly off the wall.
Is you it like what? An Old Spice commercial?
Not that random.
Yeah, because those are short. You don't have to. This has to sustain more of a story.
For a whole half
you
hour.
Couldn't do the whole with the horseman or whatever it is. Yeah,
we wanted to assemble a cast that we thought was like vibrant and funny. I'm a huge fan of James Woods, the actor.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm a fan of everything he does. So
his whole deal,
and he's done animation. It's the residuals from that are basically sustaining him right now.
Yeah, so, he was originally Boomhauser on King of the Hill.
Boomhauser, yes. Boomhauer's unrelated friend.
Yeah.
Like that was strange.
It was crazy that they had those guys, but James Woods killed it anyways.
Boomhauer and this is my friend Boomhauser.
Yep.
We brought him in to play the principal.
Mm-hmm.
Casting the Chicago Party Ant, there was a lot of talk about who this should be, and it needed to be someone that kind of just had that energy that everyone likes. And even though they're a little off the wall at the end of the day, you don't mind hanging out with them.
Mm-hmm.
So we cast Roseanne Barr.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. The right kind of extra.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like they need to feel a little extra, but it's got to be in that right way where you go like, you know, even though you're extra, I think I might order more.
Mm-hmm.
She was, she's a rough one. She's a rough one.
Okay.
So did that not work out?
Was that not
working out? No, no.
That was a problem?
No, we made it work. We made it work. We had to do a little bit of studio magic. You know, I had to jump in the booth and do a little digital stuff in the voice.
Because of the stuff she was.
Well, talk about sound mixing. Yeah. I mean, we talked to you about animation. We talked to you about writing, but you are something of like a sound savant, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like long before I ever picked up a sketchbook, I was just like obsessed with noise.
Yes.
And as a kid, I would just walk around. I had one of those old tape recorders and I would just walk around following my parents as they walked. And one of my earliest memories is pressing record and the sound of their feet walking out of the room. And I just, I always thought like, that is so cool. And
they
so,
would, so they would leave when you did that.
So you enter.
That's the sound. That's the most common sound that.
And you just got a lot of tape on them leaving when you show up.
I was the youngest person to be a in the Foley Artist Guild. When I was seven, that was my passion in life. So anyways, long story short, that was a given. That was baked into the contract when we signed that I was going to be able to do all audio services. I did the microphones. I was in the studio recording it. I was chucking have you guys ever heard of The Mix?
You were checking that?
Yeah, The Mix was on Fox. It was Caitlin Olson. She was not the most responsible parent figure, but they made it work because the kids were spoiled too. And it was very wealthy relatives who had gone to jail for some kind of scandal. She came in to take charge, and it's but we remember The Mix. Mix, so funny, you know, show, good show. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah. So I worked like on
Always Sunny Light a little bit because it was network, big network, big Fox.
Yeah, but they couldn't do some of the things, but I did all the sound mixing for that too. So that's
cool.
Yeah. So anyways, all this to say, you know, I say in animation, it's like a big old pot of vegetable soup.
It's chowder stew. Yes.
It's vegetable soup, right? You got all these different ingredients. You got the pot. You got
the squash.
Pot right? is Netflix. The full saying is
you got the peas.
Making an animated show is like making a big old pot of soup. The pot is Netflix. Mm-hmm.
The acorns.
Don't forget the acorns.
You start with your olive oil, which is your idea. Mm-hmm. It's the base. Mm-hmm.
The pickled pearl onions,
watercress, yes,
whatever you want. Yeah, you put in all that shit, but all these different ingredients are one component of the show. And when you put them together and you cook them and you give them a little bit of love, what do you end up with? You end up with a nice big bowl of vegetable soup. And I don't know if you guys know this, but it's a little chilly outside. We're about to hit soup season.
Perfect.
So
soup.
I think
the timing couldn't be better, and Netflix is smart about that stuff. Yeah, they know when to put it out. Yeah,
they know. Soup they know. Show.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. It's your soup show. It's soup show season.
It's soup show season, everybody.
The show. Roseanne's one of the voices.
Roseanne is credited
and James
Woods.
But you mess with you fucked with their voice, so it may not sound like them. But that's who you were hanging with.
It's Roseanne, James Woods, Roy O'Malley. Brilliant actor from Hamilton. Okay. Formerly Bill Simmons. I pop into a couple of my impressions here and there throughout the show. Is there anyone else? No other women.
No one else is on the show.
That's it.
Okay.
No, it's pretty, we kept it pretty
tight. Tight crew. I love that.
The one thing I insisted upon, aside from drawing, was we have to record in the same room. A lot of these animated shows, they do it all. The actors are all over the world. And
it's
then
a lie. It's a lie. You watch it and the story they're telling you is a fucking lie.
It's a lie. These
hate
people,
phonies.
Yeah. I hate phonies. I hate phonies. And so we would all go and trying to schedule this shit during COVID was impossible.
None of those cast members are getting vaccinated. I mean,
one is vaccinated. James Woods is on a no fly list. Roseanne's in Hawaii. It's impossible. But we made it work. Rosie came out here and we all, we all piled in a van one day and went over to a nice little studio in Sylmar. Mm-hmm. And we just
so
got in the booth.
So gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. It's, I own a bunch of
A lot of land.
Rental properties out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, there's a yeah.
Yeah, most of my money comes from being a landlord out there. But we got to the studio and it was, you know, when I got there, I was nervous. But then right away, I felt like we are the world. You know, all these great legends together in one mm-hmm. room. And
they're making you better. You're making them better. Yeah. You're drawing them. They're drawing you back.
I was like Quincy, man. I was running in the booth and modulating and then running back in and saying to James, I just type these pages out. Read them, boss. Running back in the booth, over modulating. It was a 48 hours I'll never forget.
The entire show.
We recorded the entire season in 40. No one slept a wink.
Wow.
Thanks to James Woods. It was the greatest day of my life. And I think when you see the show, you get it. And you're like, wow. It's like listening to Exile on Main Street. The mm-hmm. the torment those boys went through.
Mm-hmm. So much better than all their other albums that like the songs are like you like rhythmic and like
no they have like these other
nice melody.
It's so funny when these total hacks actually come out with something you can listen to where it's like they've been writing these songs, these like concise songs with like a clear musical idea behind them. You sort of like you understand the lyrics and it feels fun and it sounds like other music you've heard, but then something clicks, right? And this could be your Exile on Main Street where it's just like some piece of magic happens where you're in this house and you make this fucking mess.
Yes. And also something that you created for tax purposes.
Yes.
Like to avoid.
And I love, and from what I heard about the show, it sounds like you keep changing your mind about what the show is kind of mid scene. And that to me is so powerful.
We have a saying in the animation biz. Go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it.
And we We didn't constrain ourselves is all I'll say. Mm-hmm. And I think that led to some things that are a little bizarre, a little out there, but when you put it all together, I'm telling you guys, it's, there's nothing like it. It's my passion. And, I'm already starting to draw my next batch of drawings for,
I was about to ask what's next, just more drawings.
Yes.
Well, I've started to work on a couple new ones. You know, I was working on one. It's you remember Predator?
Yeah, I do.
Predator, and he's got a big heart on. You know, he's super hard, and he's out there. I thought that could be kind of funny. And then
is it related? Because you did send me. I mean, you had sent me a sketch that you ripped off. I was late. I don't know if you remember emailing it, but it was Gizmo from Gremlins with cum on his face.
I thought, wouldn't it be funny?
Is that supposed to?
But I thought this had to come from somewhere, you know?
The story is like, so what if Kevin got Gizmo and he knew not to get him wet, right? Don't pour water.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But one night Gizmo is asleep, right? So like Kevin's like, oh, nice. Little me time. And so, and he blasts Gizmo and Gizmo all of a sudden starts shooting little friggin' mud-wise everywhere.
There's water.
It actually is water. There's a little bit. The
human body's 97% water, an actor told me once.
And it depends on who you are, whether or not there's like water in there or not. Like some people, and this is a very normal thing, have like basically no water in there at all.
Yeah.
So in that case, that would actually be a good thing. That would be safe if it got on.
Well, the thing is,
because it's basically like glue.
Yeah, it'd be
like
a good thing, except there'd be no story.
Like Elmer's glue that's been sitting out.
There's still the man, Hoyt Axton, I believe, when he said to the kid, he didn't say, don't get water on him. He said, don't get him wet. So if you get anything, any kind of ungeny thing has water in it. So, you know, and we explain this in depth. If you kind of read it, get into the, you know,
that's most of the dialogue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so we're starting to work on that. We're hoping, we've been emailing the folks at Netflix, you know, got some big ideas, want to talk, haven't heard. But not heard back.
They're so crazy this time of year because it's soup season.
It's soup season. They're dealing with the Squid Game.
Yeah,
of it all. So you know, this is kind of my time to just open up the space, get creative, get a little nutty with it, and just do what I do best, which is
let them pull you back. You go out wild, you go, you know, and then you let them draw the boundaries around it and say like, hey, you know, if we're going to do this, maybe it should not be necessarily on Gizmo's face, but it just gets on like the back of his neck or something.
Yeah, maybe it gets just on his little tits.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, whatever. But like, that's all small stuff that other people can figure out. My job is to present you with this big idea in this world of erotic movie creatures.
I feel bad too, though. Yeah, because I interrupted you talking about Predators hard on.
No, that was it. It was just
It's the same.
Predator kind of hard on.
All fucking same.
It's him walking around, and he's just kind of grumbling about it. Yeah, and, you know. But anyways, that's what we're doing, and that's what we're going to keep on doing, and you know, it's my love.
I remember, I do actually remember, and I have to go in a minute, but I remember you.
I have to go too.
Yeah, I'm actually leaving first, but you had talked about this Predator idea years ago, and you said that he would be grumbling about his hard-on, and that he would be kind of pointing at it and going, you know, the doctor told me that if this thing lasts for more than 4 hours, I should call the hospital, but I got to tell you, this thing lasts for more than 4 hours. I'm calling everybody.
I remember that too.
I think it's like, I don't know. To me, it's like to see that character who normally is indicative of just destruction and death.
Yes. Yes.
Doing
to be a vessel of creation.
And talking about the
source of life, right?
Yeah. And talking about the stuff we all talk about and doing it with a bit of a bit of a you know, funny bend on it a little bit.
I think it's really funny.
I think the shit's good. Who knows? I'm crazy. I got a twisted, crazy sense of humor. So who the hell knows? I appreciate you guys letting me.
I look forward to more of your freaky creations in the future, Ike. And thanks so much for sharing this time with us. And I'll be watching Chicago Party Ant on Netflix.
On Netflix. It's not Gimme Shelter. It's not Jumpin' Jack Flash.
No.
This is Turd on the Run.
Turd on the Run. Ventilator Blues. Rocks off. I just want to see his face. That's what I'm giving you people. So you go, you watch your Squid Game, and it's over. And you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe that happened. Holy shit. Chicago Party Ant. Bloop. Vroom, boom, boom. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
Bye.
Hollywood Handbook.
This week on the Patreon, Carl and Hassan discuss Apologies, the season 3 finale of Hollywood Masterclass, and the Flagrant Ones are mostly talking all things basketball. Check out these bonus podcasts and videos of the full episodes, including today's with Ike, at patreon.com/theflagrantones.
Hollywood Handbook. That was a HeadGum Podcast.